Joining us this morning, your 12th District State Senator, Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you.
Well, good to have you. Are you feeling a little less pressure today?
Yes, feeling a little less pressured, and I've gotten a little bit more sleep the last couple days, so I'm excited for that. We just wrapped up the 60-day legislative session on March 10th. We actually went till about 11:35 p.m., just before the midnight deadline, before we officially sine died, which means without day. And so the legislature has officially adjourned its 60-day legislative session, and that wraps up my 10th legislative session as a member representing the 12th district. So proud to do it.
Yeah, congratulations. That's quite an achievement. Now, let me ask, how do you feel coming away from this whole thing? There were some wins, there were some losses. Tell us about the give and take you went through.
Yeah, that's usually how things go. There's always things you like and things you don't like. The state approved updates to all three of its budgets, the operating budget, the transportation budget, and the capital budget. I voted against the operating budget. It just spent too much money. I don't believe it's sustainable. It doesn't keep as much in reserves. When I came into office 10 years ago, the state budget at that time for operating budget was about $33 billion. And now what the legislature approved, which I voted against, was $64 billion. So it has almost doubled in the times that I've been there. So that was a disappointment. Although I voted for the transportation budgets and the capital budget, which were both bipartisan, so there were victories and successes for our district in that. And I was thankful that my affordable housing bill, Senate Bill 5868, successfully passed the process and is now to the governor. We have a lot of locals supporting that. But then I was disappointed that we didn't get anything for emergency powers, and basically we didn't get much of anything in terms of updates to those police reform laws that needed to be corrected. So kind of like anything, you kind of take the good with the bad. But there were some good things, but also some disappointments.
Now, your confluence project and the pedestrian underpass, I believe that's what you're referring to it as in Leavenworth, those were included in the transportation budget, but inclusion doesn't necessarily mean funding.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting process. So in addition to the two-year budget the state approves, in this particular case, the state approved a long-term transportation investment package of projects, and it was a 16-year plan that amounted to about $17 billion total. And in that plan, there's a long list of transit projects, grants, road and highway projects, and also preservation and maintenance investments. And the Confluence Parkway project is essentially included as a placeholder. The $85 million that would be needed to complete the project is listed as an infra-grant match, which is available to any local government in 2021 that received a federal Infrastructure for Rebuilding America grant from the federal government, which the city of Wenatchee did for Confluence Parkway. That particular project is a $134 million project. The infra grant was $49 million, and so that leaves $85 million unfunded, which happens to be to correspond with the same amount that's listed in that plan. But the reality is all of the projects listed in that 16-year transportation investment package will need to be scheduled out, will need to be identified, and will actually need to be appropriated when the two-year budget cycle rolls around. So, for example, local governments approve the Confluence Parkway project, and if everybody signs off on that, I anticipate that the funding in the two-year transportation budget would actually probably come in the 2025 to 2027 transportation budget cycle. And so there's still obviously some more work to do, but that's probably the case with a lot of these other projects as well.
With the lack of funding that that North Central Washington and a lot of Eastern Washington didn't receive, what's your strategy going into the next session next year? How will you approach things differently that would potentially secure more funding for us here in the 12th District?
Well, that's the difficult thing, Jeff, because this project has already, this particular package has already advanced through the process. And I don't control when these things move through. In fact, when I first started this session, I anticipated the transportation investment package would likely be proposed for 2023 for next legislative session. And then once we got in there, we realized, well, they're trying to move this through now. And the way they've constructed it, they don't need Republican votes necessarily to do it. And so that kind of changed the ball game. In the last major transportation investment package, which was approved in 2015, so it was 7 or 8 years ago, that included a collection of bipartisan projects. But this particular one, as it was moving through the process, it did not have a lot of input from Senate or House Republicans, which is one of the reasons I tried to engage, because if this major long-term transportation investment package is moving through the process and essentially spending a lot of the transportation dollars that we have, and if we don't secure projects for our district in that, then we may never get the funding for those projects until the next, you know, 10-year cycle or whenever it rolls around. So it was a pretty big deal. I do think there's the potential that in future years there will be smaller packages of projects, but you know, no one likes a gas tax and raising revenues to do that. This particular one didn't have a gas tax, but it utilized a lot of the federal dollars and one-time dollars from the state's operating budget. So the way they put this package together, honestly, I think it spends a lot of the money, and so I just don't see the likelihood of another transportation package coming through anytime soon. But there could be some changes in Olympia, too, based on the upcoming elections, and that could change things. I do think a lot of the Republican districts were left out of this one. And so when the time comes, I think a lot of the lawmakers will want to see projects in their districts in the near future.
You mentioned earlier 10-year cycles. Our redistricting, if you will, or remapping of the districts, that's on a 10-year cycle. How do you see this new 12th district impacting our abilities to do things more for our area? And how do you see that affecting your opportunity as a senator in the election process?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because that was another thing that factored into this 16-year transportation investment package, is that once we switch over to the new 12th district, which occurs basically in the November election cycle, then we're going to be competing with the King County and Snohomish County transportation priorities, and that's going to be very, very different. And not only transportation priorities, but all priorities. So the new 12th district is essentially losing a portion of Okanagan County and most of Douglas County, and then picking up portions of King and Snohomish County. In my mind, it's going to be like three different legislative districts within one district. We have the Wenatchee Valley and Chelan County portion kind of as one district with a set of resources and priorities. And then you'll have the Snohomish County portion from the community of Index all the way through until to Monroe, including the community of Monroe and Snohomish County. And then in the King County portion, North Bend, the community of North Bend, a portion of Duval, and the small town of Carnation in King County, plus all the unincorporated people within the new 12th district that will reside in King and Snohomish counties, it's going to be very different. And so it's something that Representatives Steele and Gaynor and myself, we're all going to have to adjust to and start to look through all of these major votes through the lens of our new district. And for example, one of them was this Move Ahead Washington transportation package. Not only were some of these things included for our district in preservation and maintenance dollars, but $640 million was included in that package to widen State Route 18, which if you've taken Highway 18 between Issaquah and Tacoma, it's a major priority for people in the new 12th district. And so I was thankful that was included too. But it's going to your question, Jeff, it's going to really, really change things. And it's something that we all have to keep in mind, and we're going to need to compete with for people that care about projects in the Wenatchee Valley and in the community of Chelan and others. We're going to have to compete with these other areas, and they have major, major needs.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, we're making a community connection this morning with 12th District Senator Brad Hawkins. Any other thoughts that you'd like to share now that we're kind of dialing this all down and kind of getting back to our day-to-day in terms of reaching out to your constituents this morning?
Well, if constituents do have questions, they're welcome to contact me through my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org. I do want to give a shout-out to Steve Wilkerson and Mike Cooney and others from the Chelan Valley Housing Trust. They were very involved with, you know, my Senate Bill 5868 on housing, along with the City of Leavenworth, the Wenatchee Valley Chamber, Confluence Health, and others. But, you know, I'm very proud to serve as our state senator. It's been the highest professional honor of my career, and I try to leverage all of my experiences that I can to try to drive benefits to our district. And even though our district will be changing significantly in the months ahead, it's truly an honor to go over to Olympia and serve as our senator. I was there for the last week of session too. Most all of the senators were back on the floor, and it was just it was really an honor to be there in the Senate chambers and represent our district.
I can only imagine. And then we can look forward now to the listening tour.
Yeah, it's going to be a new expanded listening tour this year. I think it's going to be the sixth annual one. But it's something that I've always prided myself in, you know, hearing directly from constituents throughout our district. I'm really hoping after a couple years of hybrid listening tours, remote virtual things that I can do, get back on the road this year and spend some time, not just in Chelan County, but in these new areas that we're talking about, kind of introduce myself to them. But these positions, Jeff, exist to serve the constituents. That's the way I look at it. And anybody representing any area of the state really needs to be closely connected with those people and really hear what they have to say. And I like doing those listening tours in the fall because it actually puts me in a position to start crafting my legislative agenda to benefit our district for the next session. And before you know it, once we get through the summer, and hopefully it's a okay wildfire season, then we will have the listening tour and then meetings with stakeholders. And before you know it, we'll be starting up again next session. And we'll be developing the new two-year budgets for 2023 to 2025. And that's going to be a big session. It's going to be at least 105 days. And depending on how the elections turn out this fall, it could be a significantly different legislature as well.
Let's hope so. we do appreciate your time, as always. 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins, we'll look forward to another opportunity to make a community connection. And thank you so much for all your hard work.
Likewise, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.